Morning, everyone. Everyone braved it in. The first sign of snow out there. Oh man, I can hardly believe it. Don't even want to see it. But unfortunately, time flies by, right? So, this morning, Pastor Doug kicked us off in a series last week, Let's Grow. And I'm going to be talking to you today about growth through discipline. I was trying to think about what is it in my life that, what does growth mean in my life? And the biggest part of what it has meant for me is discipline. So, we're going to go through that a bit. What I hope that you'll gain out of my message today is the importance of growing in our faith, growing as disciples of Jesus Christ. It doesn't just affect us. It affects the next generation that comes after us. It affects those that we come in contact with at our work and lives, right? So, you know, a lot of times we think growth and we think about, oh, what does that mean to me, right? What does that mean personally for myself? But there's a lot more riding on us growing up as Christians, as fellow believers, than just ourselves. So I can lay that all out there, but we cannot do that unless the Father kind of opens our ears to hear this morning, right? So join me in a prayer for a minute. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you, Lord. We know that you are here. We know that you are in us, Father. I pray that you remove all the filters, all the things that we have set up around our ears, eyes, hearts, mouths, Heavenly Father. Remove them this morning, Father, that we're able to hear you and hear what you're saying to us, Lord. That it might penetrate our hearts and minds. That it might produce in us a spark that says, I want to change, I want to be different, I want to look like you, Jesus. So I just pray, be with us this morning, Father. And we thank you, Father, that you are here, you're leading and guiding us in all things, Lord. In your Son Jesus' name we pray, amen. So as we get going this morning here, so, you know, the first obvious question, of course, is, I already kind of went into it a bit, but, you know, why grow? That's the question. Why grow? Because in Ephesians 1 verse 3 it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ Jesus with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So, let me ask you something this morning. If you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavens, let me ask you, are you experiencing those blessings? So why do you think we're not experiencing all those blessings? Because I think, honestly, we can say, yes, I'm experiencing some of them. Am I experiencing every spiritual blessing? Well, sometimes I think there's a discipline that needs to come in us to actually to get into the Word, to actually pull it apart, to see what God has truly done for us, right? To actually look into the Word and see who does He say we are. This colors and paints everything that we do. And, So the spiritual blessing, yes, God has already provided those for us. It is just a matter of us discovering them and a matter of us receiving them, right? It says in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. So with every spiritual blessing and those things that we walk those out, we are to be ready in season and out of season. And what does that mean for us? I think it means that we always need to be ready. You know, sometimes we're getting ready for an event and we prepare, right? We prepare certain things. We know what's going to be talked about. You know, this type of thing. And so you prepare for those things, right? Or if you're going to sit down with somebody and speak with somebody. But what it's talking about here is we need to be ready in season and out of season at all times. And I don't know what that means for you and your life and where you work and so forth, but are we ready? In Hebrews 5, 11 to 14 says, "About this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. Since he is a child, but solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by the constant practice of distinguish good from evil." So, you know, I always come back to this this scripture, and you know, I always ask myself, am I skilled and trained in the word of righteousness? And I was thinking about this, and you know, I have to admit myself, we get distracted in this world, right? We get, like it says in verse 11, it says, in Hebrews 5, 11, it says, "About this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing." So what dulls our hearing? I know for myself, one of the things that I find, busyness is definitely a big one that dulls my hearing. Distractions, absolutely. We get sidetracked in this life, and trust me, it happens so subtly. It does not come just overnight. It comes slowly, and the busyness of this life, you know. Most of us know that it's not hard to get busy. There's activities, there's sports, there's 50 different things you can put your kids into. There is, you can run from every which way under the sun to stay busy in this life. So what are the things that we have in our lives? And I think that, you know, that's been one of our things with our family is, deciding with sports and stuff like that, with kids, like how many things can it be involved in, what are we doing, where are our priorities, to make sure that we're keeping those to a minimum. Because we can get distracted by the things of the world, or we can get distracted by the things of the church as well, right? And I would say I would rather be distracted by the things of the church to keep my eye on Christ than versus the world. But I think a lot of times that is just the opposite of that, right? We find ourselves that we are distracted by the things of the world versus the things of the church. So, you know, a question to maybe ask is, where are we investing our time and effort into? Is it this world? And our building up of our own kingdom? Or is it to build up the kingdom of our Father and Lord Jesus Christ? So where do we put our priorities? You know, and you know, this is a hard one because your priorities. So, you know, we say, hey, my priority is this, my priority is that. Your time, your calendar will tell you where your priorities are. Your time of where you spend your time. In your devotions or not in devotions, watching television shows or watching the things of this world, those tell you the story of what your priorities are. I know that that's a bit of a hard word. Trust me, you know, sometimes we get convicted by those things, right? Because we find ourselves too easily distracted with TV shows, too easily getting caught up with the events of this life, and instead of actually growing in God, instead of actually pursuing Him and actually walking out what He has called us to walk out, right? Dullness of ears and heart. The other one is religion. You know, this is one that I think we have to ourselves have to really sit down and contemplate, because religion, what it does is it puts a filter over our ears. And that filter You know, you could hear the truth. Somebody could be speaking the truth right in front of you, but you won't hear it because you have set up certain filters that don't allow the truth of God's word in, right? So how do you judge religious filters? Through the word of God, of course, right? I don't have this in my PowerPoint, but in Matthew 13, verse 14 to 15, it says, "Indeed, there in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, 'You will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they have to see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them.'" You know, that's what Jesus is talking about, religion, right? He's talking about the Pharisees at that point in time, you know, the religious filter that was over people's ears. In Philippians 13, verse 14 and 16, it says, "I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in any you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained." So, you know, Paul is talking about there is a pressing on towards the upward call, right? There is a straining forward to pursue Christ and pursue God. You know, unskilled in the word of righteousness. In verse 13 of Hebrews, it says, "For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child." So, God is, you know, the one thing that this highlights to me is God is expecting us to be skillful with the word of God. He's expecting us to be skilled with the word. So what does that mean? That means to know the word of God. And he actually goes on to say in Hebrews 6, verse 1 to 3, he says, "Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrines of Christ and go on to maturity." So listen to what the elementary doctrines are and that will where we need to go to maturity. "Let's not lay again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God, an instruction about the washing and laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, the eternal judgment, and this will do if God permits." This we will do if God permits. So there is about six different elements in that. One is repentance, faith in God through Jesus Christ. So these are all elementary teachings, doctrines that we need to clearly understand. Baptism. There's baptism into Christ, there's water baptism, and then there's spiritual baptism, right? And then the laying on of hands, which is blessing men, making offerings, ordaining, imparting spirit, blessing children, healing the sick, performing miracles, imparting gifts. These are all elementary things. Resurrection of the dead, eternal judgments, these are all elementary truths that we are supposed to have as a foundation to our belief system, right? You know, it would be nearly impossible for us to systematically go through that and lay that all here every single week, you know. So that is, the thing is that this responsibility comes back onto us, right? For us to actually train ourselves in these elementary truths to actually set the foundation of where God, what he has done for us and what he is doing and what he has imparted to us, right? And what the things that are to come. There's absolutely, you know, there's a thing of us to needing to know the eternal judgments. There is coming a judgment time when we will be judged for what we have done on this earth, right? So there is two types of knowledge when we get into the Word of God. One is revelation knowledge, versus sense knowledge. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4, 2, verse 12 to 14, it says, "Now we receive not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of the spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting the spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned." So the natural man cannot understand the spiritual things of God. It is the Holy Spirit that comes and illuminates the heart of those who receive, right? And so sometimes even the Holy Spirit actually works behind the scenes, right, to bring people to salvation. You know, we always think that sometimes that it is us by our persuasive words, but no, it's actually the Holy Spirit working in the background, illuminating what you're speaking at the same time to basically have that person actually understand it, right? So there's a spiritual working, and he is always working to bring people to salvation, to bring people to himself, right? So sense knowledge. Definition. Sense knowledge comes through the five senses. What we see, hear, touch, smell, it's the natural, imperial, and limited to the physical. You know, in this, we've been trained, and we've been trained since childhood for the five senses. You know, as a baby, first thing they do is they throw things in their mouth. They touch, they feel, they taste, they taste everything. They eat everything, right? But, you know, we've been trained and developed in our five senses. It's natural. From childhood, it's a natural thing that we learn to. So I always find, and you know, I'm not saying this because I don't myself think this way, but we ourselves want, when we deal with the spiritual, we have sometimes are limited by our senses, right? Because we're not developing our spiritual senses, what ends up happening is we want our physical senses to feel God. And when we don't have a particular feeling, what ends up happening is we think that God is not real, God is not there, God is not leading us or guiding us or something along those lines, right? See, this is one of the elements that really, when you get into it, you know, what I've been talking about here, this is where, you know, it says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." So it's very critical, you know, as we get into the Word of God, we need to be seasoned in the Word, because I can tell you, so where am I trying to go with this? Let me see if I can work at this from a different way. Our senses, because we're so addicted to our senses, we want a feeling of God consistently. But the problem is, God is not feeling. Sometimes we do feel it in our bodies. It's a fact. And I like it. It's awesome when we feel His presence and so on. But what God wants us to do is actually to learn the truth of God's word, so that we know without a shadow of a doubt that He is with us. That it is not just when we feel our five senses that we are sensing Him, right? We know for a fact that He is in us, and He will work through us, and He will empower us to do what we're called to do. But if we don't understand that, then we are always looking for goosebumps. We're always looking, and I don't want to say anything against that, because that's awesome, that's fantastic when that happens. But we cannot live our Christian life based on goosebumps. There's a point in time when, between the goosebumps, this time this goosebump to the next goosebump, we need to live still in a steady, consistent faith in Jesus Christ. And I can tell you, the cycle that you kind of get into when you are relying on the goosebump is that you're constantly looking for that, where will that next goosebump come from? Where will it be? Will it be here? Will it be there? You're chasing those things down, being distracted and running around trying to figure out where you're going to get the next goosebump from versus actually studying the word and actually starting to say, hey, he is in me. He is a part of me. I don't have to look for it in an outside event at this speaker or that speaker. I am able to experience it anytime I want to experience it. I'm not talking about just goosebumps, but knowing that he is with you, knowing the confidence that you are able to walk out what he is calling you to walk out. And the danger, and you know, trust me, and this is not against anybody, but we, our songs, our worship songs, are geared a lot of times towards this. Now, I'm not saying that it's necessarily a bad thing. They're great songs. They are leading us and guiding us in that way. But one thing I would say, we have to be careful that we don't learn to rely purely on these things. Because if we do, we will never ever grow past that particular point, past our five senses. And God is calling us to move into a deeper realm. Because a lot of the things that we are needing to walk in, you know, when I was talking about, all the elementary truths, you know, a lot of those were laying on of hands, healing the sick. All those things start getting beyond the goosebumps. They are walking in confidence about who God is and what he will do when we lay hands on the sick and they will recover, right? Because he has made that promise in the word. Yeah, I can't emphasize enough that, you know, we have to make sure that we are not just relying on our senses, our five senses, to experience God. We as Christians, that is an entry level of a Christian believer. That's entry level. That is start out point. And yes, we do experience him. Trust me, don't get me wrong that we won't experience him in a tangible. Sometimes there's a manifested presence of God, and you feel his presence, right? You feel empowered. My point is, there's a confidence that needs to grow in all those things, right? So hopefully I'm making sense of it. I was trying to figure out how to unwrap that a bit on getting beyond those five sense element. Curry Blake. Our experience must be judged by Scripture, not Scripture judged by our experience. You see, the problem is, and you can just go through it. There's hurts and pains that people have experienced in this life. Because of those hurts and pains, they're judging Scripture based on their feelings. We are to flip that around. We have to look at the Word of God and say, what does the Word of God say? What does the Word of truth say? We need to judge our feelings, our experience, based on the Word of God. If it does not line up with the Word of God, guess what? There's a deceiver in this world that will try to deceive you to thinking, no, your God is a hard God. He wants to get you. He's looking for any way to get you anytime. No, but you guess what? Who's actually trying to get you? He's trying to get you. But he's trying to convince you that God is trying to get us. So we need to, I'll read it again. Our experience must be judged by Scripture, not Scripture judged by experiences. Trust me, there's many hard things in life that happen because of our misunderstanding, because us not walking fully in what the Word of God says. There's a lot of things that happen that should have not happened. It was not the will of God for that to happen. But there's sin and death in this life, and if he can deceive somebody, he will, right? So number two, revelation knowledge. Definition. Revelation knowledge is spiritual understanding that comes from God revealing truth directly to the person's spirit, often through the Bible, the Holy Spirit, or divine inspiration.
So revelation knowledge. Scriptures are understood through the Spirit, right? And so when we read the Word and we purely read it as our own mindset, as our own just understanding, of course, it's a very boring book. A lot of times we don't find much inspiration. But when we read it with the Holy Spirit, we read it through the Holy Spirit, man, like the application to our life, right? All of a sudden it becomes alive to us, and actually you can actually see how you can apply it, right? Psalm 32, verse 8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eyes upon you. God will counsel you with his eyes upon you. And what a powerful thing it is that we have the Holy Spirit within us. We have the Holy Spirit within us. He doesn't have to come from a far distance. He does not have to come from here or there. He does not come and go. He's not here today and gone tomorrow. He is with us. He is in us. What if I don't feel him? What if I don't sense him? Is he still there? Are you sure? Is it because you feel it? Or is it because you know, because the Word of God says? See what I'm saying? I don't feel his presence. He must not be here. No, there's a confidence that needs to come from us, a confidence in the Word of God and what the Word of God says. He says, greater is he that is in you than the one that's in the world. Greater is he that is in you than the one that's in the world. It doesn't say, you know, sometimes the one that's in you is greater. You know, when you're really holy, then he is greater. When you have done your best, you've done everything right, then he is greater in you. No. No. It is our confidence in who Jesus says he is. It's our confidence in what the Word of God says we have. We need revelation knowledge, not five sense knowledge. I would challenge you this week, really start looking at when we call out to God, is it a knowing or is it a, trust me, all the stuff that I'm talking to you about, that's been me. And I can tell you, when I lacked the most growth in my life is when I was going through that yo-yo stage of, now I'm great, now I'm not, now I'm great, now I'm not. That keeps you in a constant loop. And the enemy, if he can get you in a loop, that's the best part. If he can get you in an endless loop, cycling through and through again, sense knowledge, that is a big loop. I can tell you, so many Christians live in that loop, and that loop just continues. And trust me, it never goes nowhere. It just stays in the same. One, you're up, you're down. You're up, you're down. But you're always chasing that feeling. You're always chasing the next high from God or this or that when you're supposed to know. Because you're supposed to know the Word of God, right? So let's stop the loop. Let's stop the cycle, right? So I had... we'll skip a little bit here. Discipline. So in Mark 4, verse 24, it says, then he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. By your own standard of measurement, that is, to the extent that you study spiritual truths and apply godly wisdom, it will be measured to you. And you will be given even greater ability to respond, and more will be given to you besides. To the extent that we study. This can happen in many different ways, right? Inspired, teachings, hearing the Word of God, all these things spur us forward, right? But at the end of the day, all those teachings, all these things, we still have to get into the Word of God. You have to know the Word. It is not enough for you to know that this guy's teaching says this. Because it is still not the Word of God. He might be speaking the Word of God, but you need to know that Word of God yourself, right? So, disciplined training in learning. So, the first discipline is self-control and focus. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 to 27 says, Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? Now, of course, you're not competing with the guy beside you for your salvation. We have the prize already. We're pursuing forward, right? So run that you may obtain it. Even every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. What is he talking about? Without discipline, the enemy can get us off track and could ultimately bring us to a place where we don't even believe in Jesus himself anymore. There's a discipline that we need to exercise in our life. And what Paul is talking about here, an athlete trains. They do it on purpose. They don't just show up at the race and say, I feel ready. No, they've disciplined themselves. They've run, a mile maybe. Next week they run 2 miles, then they run 3 miles, 4 miles. I mean, you might get away with that once or twice. You maybe show up and you're like, hey, I think I'm ready, but not in the grand game of life, right? I think this Christian walk is an endurance walk. It's not a sprint. And so we need to train ourselves, like Paul is talking about, to walk out. We need to discipline. So discipline here means saying no to distractions or desires so that you can pursue what matters most. You know what I was talking about before? What's your calendar saying? Where are you spending your time? That is telling you everything that you need to know about your discipline and where you're spending, where you're going, right? So, this discipline as mental and spiritual training. 1 Timothy 4, verse 7 to 8 says, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness, for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. So, train yourself, right? It's about building habits that strengthen your faith, prayer, study, service, and studying consistently in even when you don't feel like it, right? I think that's why I think, I must even say in my life, consistency has been such a critical thing of my life. Because when you're inconsistent, sometimes when you, and that's why and morning time has always worked so well for me, because I get up before the kids get up. I get up early in the morning. I sit down. I'm able to read the word. I'm able to pray. I'm able to do all those things because there's no distractions. It's consistent, right? I've tried to do it in the afternoon, but then, oh, this happens. Oh, yeah, this person's coming over. Oh, this is happening. Oh, we have to run over here. All of a sudden, you're inconsistent. And once you're inconsistent, trust me, it's all of a sudden easier not to get into the Word. It's easier not to pray. It's easier not to do what you know you should be doing, right? When we set up a consistent time, a consistent place where I meet God, does that mean that I don't commune with Him throughout the day? Does that mean that I don't talk to Him? No. I start off my day. And I've thought of it often this way. We tithe our first portion of our day to Him. We worship Him. We praise Him. We give Him our honor. We give Him our words, right? We give Him our devotion. We give Him our time. So discipline as endurance and consistency. Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 2 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us,
Look into Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So, this is the discipline of staying steady over time. It's not about perfection, but persistence. Pushing through when you're tired, keeping your focus on Jesus. In our small group, we've been working on that. You know, just purely getting into the Word. I don't care if you get into, if you read one verse, if it's the verse of the day, if that is where you start consistently doing it, then you read the verse of the day. That is it. But start doing it consistently. Start there and work your way towards something bigger. But you have to start. We cannot neglect the Word. We cannot neglect not to do it. So, consistency. So, discipline as a daily obedience. In Luke 9, verse 23, he says, "And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." That is, take up the cross and follow me. So this discipline is often quiet, unseen, faithfulness, making the right choice daily, denying comfort for purpose, habits for holiness, laziness for obedience. So there's a discipline of working through those things in our life. Nobody feels like getting up in the morning, early in the morning, and sitting there and having a coffee. Well, I should maybe reframe that. In the beginning, I didn't feel like it. In the beginning, it didn't feel great getting up that early in the morning. But it's something that I look forward to every single day now. I have my coffee, I sit down, I open the Bible, I read a psalm, I praise Him, I get into the Word. Every day, I look forward to it now. Right? So, in Romans 6, verse 11 says, "So you also must consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." I just had, I've been going through this declaration by Curry Blake, and he said, "Sin is death, it's bondage, it's not my master, I am not its servant." Sin always wants to bring you into servanthood. If you don't believe me, just really contemplate the sin that you're stuck in. It wants to master you. It wants to be your master, but you are to be the master over sin, right? Sorry, hurrying along here. Colossians 3, verse 3. "For you have died, and your life is hid with Christ in God." So then again, here's the declaration. "All power has been given to Jesus. And therefore, since my life is hid in Christ, the authority and power of Jesus Christ is the power and authority that I walk in. It is not my authority, it is His authority. It is no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me." And that's, of course, out of Galatians 2:20. "I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ. I no longer live." Sir, let me start again there. "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me," right? So we are no longer. He says, God has done everything for us so that He can do everything through us, right? He has done everything for us so that He can do everything through us. So, let's finish off here this morning. Join me in a prayer. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you, Lord. I thank you that you are worthy of our praise. I thank you that you are faithful, Father. You're faithful to do what you say in your word. You're faithful to me. You're faithful to each one of us here, Heavenly Father. You gave your Son on the cross because you wanted us. You wanted to be in a relationship with us, Heavenly Father. And I thank you, Lord God. I thank you for that. I thank you that you haven't left us on our own, but you filled us with the power of your Holy Spirit to empower us to walk as you walk,
Heavenly Father. So I just thank you for today, Lord God. I thank you for what you're doing here. I just want to speak to that person maybe here this morning that maybe you haven't given your life to Christ. I want to give you an opportunity right now. Would you join me in this prayer? If you want to give your life to Jesus right now, just repeat this prayer after me. God, please forgive me for all I have done wrong. I believe you sent your Son, Jesus, to set me free. I want Jesus to be the Lord and Savior. From now on, I am following you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so I can have the power to change for the rest of my life. Amen.